This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. By coincidence, we have long-standing plans to talk about earthquakes today. Later in the program, Simon Winchester joins us to talk about his new book on the quake that shattered San Francisco almost 100 years ago. But we must begin with the trembler in northern Pakistan this weekend. Tens of thousands of people are believed dead, and entire villages destroyed. Many places are still cut off by landslides that buried roads. President Pervez Musharraf says it's the worst earthquake ever to hit Pakistan, and he's appealed to the world for help, asking in particular for heavy-lift helicopters able to carry relief supplies into isolated mountain areas. Turkey, Britain, Japan, and Russia are just a few of the countries who've pitched in already. The United States has sent 8 helicopters in from neighboring Afghanistan, and the first plane load of American aid has already landed. After first refusing, Pakistan has also decided to accept aid from India. Joining us now is Major General Shaukat Sultan, the spokesman for Pakistan President Pervez Musharraf. He's with us from Islamabad in Pakistan. We know the past few days have been very busy, and we know it's also very late there. We appreciate you staying up to speak with us tonight.
Thank you.
We have heard estimates of the number feared dead as high as 30,000. Is that accurate?
Well, the estimates are anyone's guess. It is very difficult to give the correct figures of the dead so far because a lot many people are buried under rubble. The government said that the estimate could be anything above 20,000. It is very difficult to say whether it is 20, 25, or 30, but the reality is that it is pointless disputing this figure. More important is that it is massive, and the death toll could be even higher.
And, of course, many times that number are now homeless.
Yes, there are much more people who are really homeless.
What is your priority in terms of international aid?
The priority in the terms of international aid is that we need shelters, temporary shelters like tents, blankets, medicines, and some food items which can be quickly served there, like biscuits, etc. And other than that, some heavy machinery. Few heavy transport helicopters have already arrived, and we have been told that maybe a few more may be arriving. We have also opened up the roads ourselves, so it is heavy machinery required to remove the rubble and then also to help in the reconstruction.
The areas that have been worst hit are in Kashmir and in the Northwest Territories. Can you describe those areas for us?
Yes, the area is mountainous, and some of the areas, the mountains are very heavy, and the houses are on very steep slope in certain cases. There is no way to reach those places except to go by helicopter. And in some areas, the roads are so cut off that it is so far difficult to reach those areas. Only the roads to main cities have been opened, but roads to those isolated towns and villages could not be opened. There are many which are totally without any kind of roads, etc. The rescue teams had so far been working in the main cities, but now bases have been established in those cities, and from there the teams are now going to sally out to the villages and into the valleys.
As you know, there have also been complaints from many areas that they are not getting help, and indeed that there are no police or army troops there to help keep the peace.
Well, the complaints are right. I would not deny those complaints, but there are certain realities which you must know. The reality is that this had been a massive earthquake which has caused widespread damage. Second reality is, as you say, that there are many who haven't got aid so far. This is a reality. But this is also a reality that there are many who have been saved, and they have been provided with aid, and they have been provided with medical support, and they have been evacuated on helicopters to safe places. Just seeing the magnitude of the disaster, one must realize that it is difficult to reach everyone at first time, at first instance. There would certainly be few who would be reached first, and there would certainly be few who would be reached later. The government is working round the clock, 24 hours, day and night in an effort to make sure that we are able to rescue a few who are rescued few alive. And even this evening, 40 children have been rescued alive who were buried under rubble of a school in Balakot in Northwest Frontier Province. It was a French team that was working, French team and the army troops. They worked together and they saved these 40 children.
That's great news. We're delighted to hear that. Let me ask you, we're also getting reports from the city of Muzaffarabad that shopkeepers there have been battling looters, desperate people trying to get food and medicine.
Yes, there had been certain instances like this. These are too bad. As you understand that in any tragedy or in any such disaster, there are certain after effects of a disaster that we got to cope with, and we hope that with the opening up of road, the situation of aid and the relief goods would be better.
General Sultan, thank you very much for being with us, and again, we know it's very late there. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Major General Shaukat Sultan is a spokesman for Pakistan President Pervez Musharraf. He joined us from Islamabad in Pakistan. Laura Winter is a reporter for the Christian Science Monitor and for the New York Daily News. She traveled earlier today to that devastated city of Muzaffarabad. She joins us now from Islamabad in Pakistan, and we also appreciate your staying up for us.
Oh, no problem.
Can you describe what the scene in the city looked like?
The scene in the city is really difficult to survey. It's difficult in the sense of the devastation that you see. And what actually even hits you first before you even see the city is the actual stench of the city. The city is basically one huge tomb with unknown numbers of men, women, and children buried beneath the rubble. It just smells of death. And those people who are alive are walking through the streets, some of them with their belongings, some of them holding or carrying elderly to either places where they think they might be able to receive medical aid or to the end of a road to where they hope that they can hitchhike their way out.
Out. They're thinking that if they're going to survive this, they had better get out of town.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, many, many people do want to get out of town because it's still shaking up there. It's shaking so much that even when you look up from the valley floor up to the mountains, you can see these amazingly massive landslides that are actually changing the face of a mountainside. And these landslides are continually to fall, and the dust is just raising up and filling the valley basin with dust.
What kind of housing was the city made of? Were these high-rise buildings or single-story houses? What?
I didn't see much of anything that was over more, let's say, four stories. But what they were made of was made of bricks and of stone. Now, for your listeners who live in California, they know that they don't build their houses of brick because when they shake, they kind of break apart. Well, that's exactly what happened up there. It shook, and everything just fell to pieces, burying children in schools, burying college students in their university. There are still hundreds and hundreds of missing.
What time of day, local time, did this strike?
This struck at about 9 a.m. here in Pakistan. And at that time, the kids were in their classrooms. People were at their jobs. In fact, at the National Bank, for instance, there were 35 employees and as many as 20 customers inside the bank when the earthquake struck. And as late as last night, there were voices coming from the rubble, but only one person was actually rescued. They're not hearing voices anymore.
Did you see any rescue teams that had arrived to try to find people?
I saw teams. Now, rescue teams or aid worker teams, I couldn't actually see because they were driving by very quickly in their vehicles. But I did see UN. I did see a team that I think that was from Russia that was there, that seemed to be there for a search and rescue kind of operation. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, what could be described only as maybe a flock of helicopters came to that city and landed and offloaded supplies and tried to take evacuees out. Residents there, however, did tell me that they did not see the Pakistani army doing anything until today, basically because those soldiers that were in the city, many of them died, About 253 of them died, and those soldiers that were alive were really busy just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm. If organization is beginning, it is just beginning.
Exactly. It's just beginning, and it just began, I'd say, about an hour and a half before the sun set. And when it sets out there, they don't have electricity, so everything just shuts down.
And I assume telephones are out as well?
Telephones, most telephones are out. Actually, there were a few public call offices that were open, and there were crowds of hundreds of people around them just waiting their turn to make a phone call out to tell loved ones that they were still alive.
Those people that you saw leaving the city, where are they going to?
Well, that's a very good question. They're going possibly in two different directions, but they're trying to get out to where they think that they can receive aid. The people I saw were coming the direction that I came from, which is a place called Murray, which is a huge sort of army sort of area. And in that place, there is a hospital. And if you continue on down that road about 4 hours, you will eventually make it into Islamabad.
When you spoke to people, what did they tell you? The stories of survival or stories of loss?
For most families, it's really a story of both. The one family I spoke to, they lost four small children in a school that was built next to one of their homes. This is a quite large family. They have about 15 different houses in sort of an area, and their children went to this school. Four of them died, and they got the last dead body or last dead child out of that school today. However, they had two young women, a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old, that were attending the university there. When the university collapsed on top of them, they knew that they were there inside their classroom, and so they went, and they could hear them on the inside. The only way that they could get them out was by punching holes or just digging holes through the walls to pull them out. They got one girl out in 1 hour, and the other one came out after 7 hours of digging.
Laura Winter, at least you left us with some encouragement there. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Laura Winter with the Christian Science Monitor also reports for the New York Daily News. She joined us by phone from Islamabad in Pakistan. When we come back from a short break, we'll be joined by Simon Winchester and talk about the San Francisco earthquake almost 100 years ago. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.